Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting, talented performers who are going to show their skill with words and language as they try and speak on a subject that I give them, and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Jenny Eclair, and seated on my left, Graham Norton and Zoe Lyons. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me with the score, run the stopwatch and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And we begin the show this week with Graham Norton. Graham, end of the pier. That's the subject. Talk on it if you can, starting now.
British people seem very fond of piers. As an Irish person, I'm not sure I understand them. It seems you walk a little further out into the sea, turn around, look where you just were, and then return there, not having gained a single thing. They now build things on the piers.
So, very childish.
Was there a repetition of things? Thing? Things? Things?
Could you nurse, just, please, for Zoe?
Sorry. Stranger Things. I think I was a bit trigger happy there, Nicholas. I think there was a thing and a things, but I was just so excited to be back on the show that that I thought I'd better get in there early. I have a finish now, sorry.
All right. So, Graham, an incorrect challenge. I have a point for that, of course. And there's still 43 seconds available. End of the pier, starting now.
Of course, end of the pier refers to entertainment, doesn't it, ladies and gentlemen? The summer season. I'm sure Nicholas Parsons has appeared there and indeed kept some deck chair material and turned it into his lovely jacket he's wearing this evening. Now, end of the pier is a phrase that is used for certain...
Paul Jones.
I thought we were sort of slowing down a bit.
I think that was a hesitation. We interpret that as hesitation,
Paul. I reached the end of the pier.
And there are still 24 seconds available, Paul, for you to go on with the end of the pier, starting now.
The day after fire was discovered, the first pier was built. It seems that they are an attraction for any arsonist to go on and set fire to these delightful...
Joy challenge.
Fire and fire?
Oh,
fire and fire.
Yeah, I thought fire was the part of the subject for some reason. No, absolutely.
Zoe, you got in with a point, of course, for the correct challenge. End of the pier is the subject. 15 seconds starting now.
I live in Brighton, which, of course, is a very famous Victorian seaside town, and we have a wonderful pier. I often spend many of my days at the end of the pier on the Helter Skelter. I climb to the top of the slide, get my little Hessian sack, sit on it and whiz down with...
Yes. And Zoe Lyons was speaking as the whistle went, and in this game, whoever does that gains an extra point. And so she's in the lead at the end of the round. And Zoe, we're with you to begin, and the subject is bottled water. Oh. Tell us something about bottled water in this game, starting now.
The first bottled water I was aware of was when I was growing up in Ireland in the 70s. It was bottled holy water. It was the only bottled water available at the time, and you could get this particular sort of bottled water to carry around with you in case you ever confronted evil, and you could just spray it with some of this particular type of water. The bottled water we have now is, of course, much more readily available in shops and supermarkets and at the side of roads, etc., and other things.
Jenny, you challenge?
At the sides of roads.
I couldn't remember
the
deviation.
I was trying to remember motorway services. If there was a spare bottle of water lolling about at the side of the road, I would not pick it up and drink it. Because you could never be quite sure what was going down your gullet. That's all I'm going to say. It's a health warning. I don't mind if I don't get a point.
I think to be fair to Zoe, she was conveying that you could buy it at the side of the road. So, incorrect challenge, I'm afraid, Jenny. And Zoe, you still have the subject of bottled water. And 31 seconds starting now.
Bottled water, of course, is now out of fashion, and we all have our reusable bottles that we take with us everywhere we go. Unfortunately, I keep forgetting this particular sort of vessel and have had to buy several of them, in fact, causing more damage to the environment, I think, than any form of bottled water that pre-existed. Bottled water is quite expensive, and I think there's nothing wrong with just picking up one from the side of the road, quite frankly.
Jenny, your challenge again.
Repetition of side of the road. She just learned.
Just couldn't let it go, Jenny.
So, Jenny, you've got in on the subject at last. With 8 seconds to go, bottled water starting now.
Of course, you do get a free bottle of water from the side of the road if you're doing a marathon. People give them to you. Otherwise...
In that round, Jenny Eclair was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and she's just behind Zoe Lyons, who's in the lead. And Jenny, it's your turn to begin. And the subject we've got here is Charles Dickens. Tell us something about that. Great writer in this game, starting now.
Charles Dickens was the bloke responsible for writing the book Bleak House, which was my A-level set text, and I attempted to read the night before the exam. Consequently, I went into the examination room...
Oh, sorry!
Too keen, Zoe, too keen. An incorrect challenge. Examination, right. 43 seconds still available for you, Jenny, on Charles Dickens, starting now.
And wrote an essay not knowing who the main characters actually were. Of course, that...
Paul Janet.
Was it a repetition of Wrote, the bloke who wrote Bleak House?
Yes, that's right. Yes, well done, listen, Paul. Oh, you have 37 seconds, if you need it, on Charles Dickens, starting now.
It can be rather difficult to read Charles Dickens. The book that Jenny referred to, Bleak House, is one that I attempted myself, and I found that after the first 4 pages, where he was still describing the grey fog that had settled on the capital, I thought, here is a man who's being paid for by the word. And so from then on, I've never really got into any of his books. Pickwick Papers is one of his early comic efforts, which people often recommend. But for me, I suppose, if I was to watch any kind of film that was based on a Dickens novel, it would undoubtedly be Tale of Two Cities, starring Dirk Bogarde, made in 1958. Now, there was an actor.
Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Cork. Tell us something about Cork in this game, starting now.
Obviously, I don't know Cork as well as Graham does, because that's where he was born and grew up. But nevertheless...
Graham Chance.
I wasn't. I thought he was.
No.
Oh, no.
I'm quite happy to say I was born in Cork, but I wasn't.
Where were you born?
In Dublin.
Oh, right.
That's what my mother told me. I don't know.
Graham, you have a correct challenge. You knew where you were born. 55 seconds available. Cork, starting now.
I was not born in Cork, but I did grow up there and know the city well. It is the second largest metropolis in the country of Ireland. Many people are habituating there in houses. Is that a word? Let's say it is. Now,
more challenge.
Let's say it isn't.
I think that round of applause indicates that Paul, you should have a bonus point for an interruption there, which was very amusing, but you were not deviating from the rules of just a minute, Graham.
So you have
a point, and you have 39 seconds on Cork, starting now.
Patrick Street is the main shopping thoroughfare, and at the end of it, there is a statue of Father Matthew above the River Lee. There is a poem, but of course I can't do that because words will repeat in it, and repetition, as you know, is one of the real...
Poor challenge. Well,
was there a bit of hesitation?
No.
Excuse me.
Oh, mother's here.
Well, you don't want to cross this woman in the front row, do you?
Right, so, Graham, you have another point. You have Cork. 21 seconds are starting now.
There is a Tesco's there now. It's near Wilton. You know, by the hospital. It's a second roundabout on that new ring road they built. Honestly, the traffic is crazy. crazy. There's also a bridge. No, I lie, it's a tunnel called the... I have no... the Jack Lynch Tunnel.
Paul, you're going in first, then.
Hesitation?
Definitely hesitation.
I'm not asking you, Nicholas. The lady in the front row says it was.
Does she want to come and sit here?
I wouldn't. I'd say she did, so I wouldn't offer it.
No, I think it definitely was. Right. Paul, you got him with 5 seconds to go on cork starting now.
As I saw the cork bobbing up and down in the ocean, I realised that was...
So, Paul Merton speaking as a whistle, winning again that extra point. And Graham Norton, we're with you to begin the next round. And we have now music festivals. 60 seconds if you need it, starting now.
When I was younger, I did, in fact, go to a music festival. It was Glastonbury, and it did rain a great deal, as, of course, it normally does. It was very muddy, and on the second day, I decided we could not remain there a moment longer. We had some sort of VIP parking, so we got into the car and were driving out, and honestly, people were throwing themselves at the car as if it was the...
Paul Janet.
Have I spoilt your evening?
I think the inmates are taking over the asylum.
What's the matter, Paul?
Well, it was a repetition, but I've forgotten what it was now. Repetition of car. Yes, thank you.
She's working very hard, that woman in the front row. Right, repetition, yes. Right, Paul. Music festivals was with you, and there are 37 seconds available starting now.
Music festivals. One of the very first big music festivals was Woodstock. This is where rock music came to life. People that played on that particular occasion, Jimi Hendrix, for example, made their reputation in the heat and the nighttime. The stage was full with all kinds of musicians. People travelled miles to get there.
Jenny Chance.
Repetition of people.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Did I?
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. So, Jenny, you've got in...
Is that Crossrail I heard going through?
15 seconds to go, Jenny. Music festivals with you starting now.
The trouble with music festivals in this country is that we don't have a retractable roof. It's always raining. I once went to the music festival that Graham frequented and fortunately had a caravan. Oh.
So, Jenny Eclair got that extra point for speaking as a whistle wench. She's in second place now behind Paul Merton, but ahead of Graham Norton and Zoe Lyons in that order. And, Zoe, we're with you to begin, and the subject is extreme sports. I don't think there's anything funny in it, but I think your imagination is saying, I wonder which way they will take this. Well, we'll find out. As you begin, Zoe, now.
Extreme sports are called extreme sports because they are extremely dangerous and one would say a little bit foolish as well. Probably the best known extreme sport is base jumping, where you take yourself somewhere up really high and jump off it with nothing but a parachute. I would recommend you don't use a wardrobe. There isn't quite enough depth. You do need something like Mont Blanc or a mountain of similar height for which to get you speed up and then release the said shooty thing on the back of your purchase so that you can fly like a birdie, but it is an absolutely ridiculous thing to do. People do it all of the time and record themselves and put it on YouTube, but it is a really dull experience. So I would recommend you make your own extreme sports, which is...
Graham Chanis.
Repetition of recommend.
Yes, you recommend.
Oh, did I recommend?
Mm.
Oh.
unless you're listening to an iPlayer.
So Graham, correct challenge, a point. Extreme sports is with you. 19 seconds available, starting now.
For the purposes of this subject, I'm going to say that paddleboarding is an extreme sport, because that's something I know something about.
Jenny Chance, right.
It's just so not an extreme sport. I'm really sorry. I've seen people paddleboarding. It's not an extreme sport. You're not ironing a shirt on top of a big mountain. That's an extreme sport, paddleboarding. What do you think?
I think it is, yeah.
What's that woman?
It all depends where you're paddleboarding, doesn't it?
Yes, I was going to get to that, yes.
It depends how...
Yes, you can paddleboard somewhere very dangerous.
Yeah.
Yes.
Were you going to go to the rapids?
Yeah, the Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
Yeah, paddleboarding there.
Give him... I'd like to give that subject back to Graham, his paddleboarding across Niagara Falls.
I would like to ask that woman in the front what she thinks.
I think it depends how fit you are as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very extreme hard on sport the core. Could be, you know, could be something like paddleboard.
Well, as someone who finds running for a bus an extreme sport, I agree, in fact, I should never have made that challenge.
Well, we enjoyed your challenge. So could we have,
we'll have a small point.
Well, it wasn't that.
So, Graham, you won the day, you've got a point, you have extreme sport still, and 13 seconds if you need it starting now.
I know for sure that ironing a shirt up a mountain is an extreme sport. Somebody told me that recently. I wouldn't try that because I don't like ironing in my front room.
Zoe Chandler, yes.
Ironing.
Yes. 2 seconds. Extreme sports, Zoe, starting now.
Bungee jumping is something of an.
Oh, the end of the round. Zoe got a point. It's all very close. 1 point separates all four of them. Oh, Jenny, it's your turn to begin. A light bulb moment. 60 seconds if you need it, starting now.
Life is a series of light bulb moments. We have to understand how to do things. Suddenly, it'll click, like learning to drive. You'll be on a very steep hill and you don't understand what the car is doing. Fortunately, at that moment, you have a light bulb moment and it clicks, the biting point.
Zoe Challenge.
I think there were two clicks.
Yeah, there were.
Two clicks.
Were.
Clickety-click.
Yeah, click-to-click. I went into bingo. Twice, I was playing bingo in my head. I went mad. It's a really hard subject. You're welcome.
I wouldn't
it.
Want to be in a. I wouldn't want to be in a car with you, Jenny.
No, you don't.
38 seconds for you, Zoe. A light bulb moment starting now.
Only yesterday in my flat, I had a light bulb moment. Sitting there in the dark, I suddenly realised what it was that I needed. It was indeed a new light bulb. So I went to the local supermarket and purchased one. But when I got there, I realised I didn't know whether it was a bayonet or a screw-in. It's so complicated these days. I then remembered it was one of the aforementioned types of bulbs. So I purchased the correct one.
Jenny Challenge.
Purchased.
Purchased and purchased.
Yes.
Double purchase.
You went to purchase, didn't you? 16 seconds, Jenny, another point to you. A light bulb moment starting now.
Of course, the original light bulb moment was made by Thomas Edison, who invented...
Paul Challenge.
No, he didn't invent the light bulb.
Well, he turned into Giles claimed. Brandreth.
What? Do you want to fight or something? Well, I don't know everything, but it was an Englishman called Swan who invented the light bulb.
Mm-hmm. He invented matches, Swan matches.
That's how he found the light bulb, by lighting the match. No, Edison was quite well known for claiming inventions that weren't entirely his.
Mm. I think you're right, Paul. Ooh. So you've got 10 seconds on a light bulb moment starting now.
Thomas Edison looked at the light bulb on his desk. He knew he wasn't the true inventor. There was a man called Swan in England who used to buy matches, but now he was making light bulbs. And he said, that English...
So Paul Merton, speaking as a whistleblower, gained that extra point. And Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject is fame. Tell us something about fame. Starting now.
Well, I've seen Nicholas Parsons work the queue and I've seen him walk through Edinburgh and everybody turns round and says, there is the esteemed chairman of Just a Minute. Fame is very much a 20th century invention if you think of the motion picture coming along in 1895 and then the few years after that, Mary Pickford became known as the first movie star of that new century. Charlie Chaplin not far behind. These people became worldwide famous. As actors, 20 years before, they simply would have had careers on the stage. But now, everywhere knew them. Russia, China, parts of Africa, anywhere that could power up a projector was used to seeing these new famous individuals. I suppose fame is a double-edged sword. In some respects, when you're famous, people say...
Oh, Graham Challenge.
A repetition of famous.
Yes, repeated famous. And fame is what's on the card.
Yep.
Graham, you've got in. With 11 seconds to go, Fame starting now.
Fame was, of course, a television series based around a real school in Manhattan, which is an island in New York State.
What happened then? I thought you were turning into Mr. Hyde.
Well, no. I said Manhattan's an island, and I suddenly thought, is Manhattan an island? I think it's joined on to something.
Anyway. You're quite right, it is.
It is.
But you shouldn't have paused.
I shouldn't have paused. No, I shouldn't have paused. I'm a fool to
Paul,
myself.
Paul, you have a correct challenge. and you have 2 seconds to go on Fame, starting now.
I'm gonna live for...
And Paul Merton, speaking as the whistle went, has increased his lead at the end of the round. Graham Norton, we're back with you to begin. And the subject now, a lovely one here, candles. Talk on the subject if you can, starting now.
What is wrong with bringing a bottle of wine to someone's house? Nowadays, it's all candles, especially scented candles, called things like necrophilia. And I don't need them in my life. I have enough now, thank you. And also, the smell in...
Paul Chan.
Oh, hesitation, sadly.
Yeah, that's a hesitation.
Well, I'm glad to hear you haven't got any room in your life for necrophilia.
I just wanted to make that very clear.
Yeah, I think that's good.
It's a public forum.
What does that smell of? Sandalwood?
Cadaver. Yeah.
And hair dryers. Mm.
Paul, you have another correct challenge. You have 43 seconds. Tell us something about candles, starting now.
Candles are very atmospheric. The Globe Theatre has a new theatre... Oh.
Zoe challenge.
The two theatres.
Yes, two theatres. 38 seconds, Gloria, still available on candles, starting now.
I'm not a massive fan of candles. In fact, the only time I ever get the candles out are at a birthday do, where you present somebody's cake with thousands of candles on the top, particularly if they're particularly old.
Couple of particularlies.
Particularly. Yeah. I'm right, really
Jenny.
Bad at this,
Correct
aren't
challenge.
I?
28 seconds are still available, Jenny. Candles starting now.
In the old days, candles were mere waxy stumps to use during a power cut or at a dinner party if you wanted to look 10 years younger. Handy trick, you may use it. Nowadays, as everybody has said, it is the odour candle that is de rigueur.
Paul Jan.
No slight hesitation.
I think there was. 10 seconds available. Candles starting now.
John Webster's play, The Duchess of Malfi, has been staged many times, occasionally in candle-lit performances, and this is where you start to get the action.
So at the end of that round, the situation is still the same. Graham Norton, Zoe Lyons and Jenny Eclair are equal in second place, but ahead of them in the lead is Paul Merton. Zoe Lyons, it's your turn to begin, and the subject now is... fortune-telling. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
I knew you were going to ask me to talk about fortune-telling, actually, Nicholas, because I have a little bit of a gift myself. Occasionally, I'll take myself down to the Brighton seafront and set... really?
Myself.
I didn't even see that coming. That's... and that surprises me with my skills.
Jenny, 52 seconds still available. Fortune telling starting now.
I once went to see a fortune teller. Her name was Zoe Lyons. She looked at my palm, checked my nails, saw how curved they are, and said, "Is there a history of heart disease in your family?" I said, "Yes." She said, "You better watch yourself."
Zoe, Janet,
there were a few saids in there.
Yes,
said,
right.
Said,
it was just actually an anecdote. I wasn't playing the game.
Zoe, correct challenge. There are 37 seconds available. Fortune-telling starting now.
In a market in Jakarta, Indonesia, I once saw a fortune-teller who did something very special with some incense over my hands and told me I would have a tremendous future. I'm not sure how far into the distance he was looking, but I did have a splendid afternoon, so perhaps he was right in that aspect. I went off from there and had a delicious lunch of pancakes and things that you can eat in that part of the world, the western parts of Asia. I enjoy fortune-telling experiences. I also had one in Great Yarmouth once where they said, "You're not welcome here anymore because you wanted to ride at the programme on Just a Minute." And I thought, well, maybe I should get back into my taxi and leave.
Okay, right. So, Zoe Lyons was speaking then as whistle-win, gained that extra point, and we're moving into the final round. I'll give you the situation as we do. Graham Norton, for once, is training. But alongside Jenny Eclair, they are 1 point behind Zoe Lyons, who's 2 or 3 points behind Paul Merton, who's in the lead. And Jenny Eclair, it is your turn to begin. This subject now is holiday snaps.
Holiday snaps, Jenny, starting now.
Once upon a time, you'd eject that reel of film from the back of your Kanika Pop Red camera, take it to Boots the chemist, forget about them for 3 weeks, then pick them up. What excitement, lean against a lamppost, leaf through the contents of the envelope. Oh, dear, 60% were out of focus and the other were unflattering. You'd rip them all up, have a little cry. These days, of course, we can tamper with our pictures on smartphones, all of us looking like Kardashian birds in the end. Funnily enough, I've just come back from a Greek holiday in Skiathos, so my talking apparatus...
Zoe Jones, you challenge.
She's right.
It was ever so slight beginnings of a hesitation.
Yes,
there.
Because I was going to say phone and then I thought I can't say phone because I've said it before.
Yeah. So, Zoe, you challenge first. And there are 16 seconds still available on holiday snaps starting now.
I have had several holiday snaps because I'm quite a clumsy person. The last one happened when I was on vacation in Spain and I tripped over a tile near a pool.
Oh, Graham challenge.
What's an e-vacation?
It's an e-vacation. It's an e-vacation.
Is it like e-cigarettes?
It's an environmental vacation where you actually do quite a lot for the environment while you're there. Okay. Picking up bottles and
so
that sort of thing.
So what is your challenge, Graham?
From the side of the road.
Well, from the side of the road.
Well, it sort of deviated from English, I would say.
Deviation from the language as we
understand.
Well,
no, it's Yorkshire. vacation. It's my northern twang, that's what that is.
Graham, you got in first. Got a point. Correct challenge. Holiday snaps is still around, and you have just 7 seconds if you need it, starting now.
My mother's favourite holiday snap is proudly displayed on her cabinet. It is a lovely photograph of her, but myself and my sister.
Right. So let me give you the final score. Jenny Clare, who was very successful the last time these four were together, she finished this time in fourth place. Oh. But only 1 point behind Graham Norton, who was only 1 point behind Zoe Lyons, who was 3 points behind Paul Merton. So we say this week, Paul Merton, you are our winner. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute and will want to tune in again. Only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Jenny Eclair, Zoe Lyons and Graham Norton. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, run the stopwatch, blown the whistle. We're indebted to our producer, Matt Strong. We're deeply indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're also indebted to this lovely, warm, enthusiastic audience here at the Radio Theatre, particularly that woman in the front row, who cheered us on our way magnificently. From them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you very much. Tune in again when we take to the air and we play Just a Minute.